Thank you, Grace, and welcome here this morning. We are going to begin with our gathering song. Number 94 in Hymnal of Worship Book, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come. Please stand. That was beautiful. Thank you for singing so heartily. And as our welcome, I would like to just reiterate Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Part of the hazard of mask wearing, those of you who wear glasses on a regular basis, you know it's the fogging of glasses, but it's also the running of noses, apparently. The other announcement I would like to draw our attention to has to do with this entire month. October is Witness Support Month. And that means for us here that we're inviting all of us, all of Zion people and Extension, to contribute above our normal giving, beyond our tithe, to give specifically designated gifts to the Witness Program. And you can write your normal check to Zion, and then write on the little memo line designated for the China Witness Program. Because we at Zion have chosen the China Program as our witness team. There are four teams, but we have chosen China. So you have time. This is only the second Sunday yet in October. And you will still have two more Sundays to do that kind of offering, or any time during the week, of course. Also, in the month of October, next Sunday is International Witness Sunday, specifically geared to draw attention to the witness program. The November 8th, we will celebrate communion, and we have purchased small self-contained communion portions. For any of you who are very conscientious about the spread of germs. So we're trying our very best to stay healthy, but still be able to perform the rites of the church. Okay, then let me start with a little activity that I started already. Most of you I managed to grab, but some snuck in later and were able to get under the wire. You see something growing over there? I planted a tree this week, and look at how it is blossoming and growing. Isn't that beautiful? Not this one.
Don't look at that one. Look at this one.
Isn't that lovely? Doesn't it just, it puts a smile on your face, that's for sure. And some of you can see the sign that is growing out the top of the tree. It's a very unique tree. It has a sign growing out the top, and it's called the Gratitude Tree. And I went around to collect items for leaves of gratitude. And many that I managed to catch were able to say, this is what I am grateful for this morning. But we all know that a tree doesn't just grow anywhere all by itself. Or do we know that? Yes, we know that. We know trees usually grow with other trees. Even up here, look at this. There's no lone solo tree. And down here, no standalone tree. So this tree is misplaced. It needs to go where it belongs. It needs to go to the gratitude garden. Yes, you guessed it. I have a hankering for a children's moment, children's story hour. And I thought, well, when we're asked, we always feel young at heart. So please participate with me. For those of you who remember what you told me that I wrote on your leaf, you can use those when I ask you for them. So what we're going to do is go on a little journey. We're going to go on a journey looking for the gratitude garden. Can you see it anywhere? We'll have to keep wandering around. I looked in my house for a map. Some of you are going, a what? A map. You know those kind we used to unfold and hold like this? Where do we go? I don't even have a map anymore. So you're really going to have to help me out. We'll start the journey on the way to the gratitude garden. But first, we're going to have to go through some very nasty places. Oh, no. What do we have here? I'm walking, by the way. This is the frowny forest. We're going to get lost in the frowny forest. Do you know what it looks like when you're in the frowny forest? Well, you have all your masks on. Go ahead. This is what it looks like. You can furrow your brows. You can make a big frown on your face. Some of you, if you like to get your arms moving, do this. Oh, Matt's already there. He's ahead of me. Oh, yeah. Good one, Shirley. And the way she did it. You can even do a noise like that. Make a mad face. Come on, stop smiling. Hank, stop smiling. Okay, we're in the frowny forest, and it's windy in the frowny forest. So it's pushing us this way and that way. Go ahead, move your bodies. You're getting thrown here and there by wind. Your hair is flying everywhere. The only way out of the frowny forest is to say the things you're grateful for. Come on, tell me. We got to get out of this frowny forest. What are they? Call them out. Good. What else? What else? Come on, we're going to get out of here. We got to get out of this frowny forest. I still feel a little frowny. Yeah, warm hearts, sunshine, singing. Come on, we're almost out. We can get there. Yes, one more, one more. We're at the edge. We're out. Whew. You feel better? I know I feel better. Relax. We're out of the frowny forest. Oh, no. Look down. I can't move my feet. I am stuck. I'm stuck in the sad swamp. The sad swamp. Go ahead, let your shoulders droop. Feel how sad you feel. Put your head down. You can whimper if you want. Sniffle. Oh, I can hardly move. My steps are so heavy. I can't walk. I can't go anywhere. I can't get to the gratitude garden. Help me. Call out what you're thankful for. Help me out of the sad swamp. Groceries? Great one. What else? What else? Come on. Good. Come on, good. Oh, my feet are getting loose. Good. What else? What else? We ran out of things. Grace, give me something. I'm stuck here. Cats? Did someone say cats? Maybe. Pets, lambs, goats. Goats are funny. I'm getting there. My feet are almost out. One more.
Elf.
Okay. Elf? Okay. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but all right, we're out of the sad swamp. Whew, one more. Oh, and this one's really a toughie. I don't know if I'm going to make it. We're here to the Mad Mountain. Anybody ever been to the Mad Mountain? Were you there this week? I know I was. You're climbing and clawing your way up, and you always have a very mad look on your face. Try to climb. Go ahead, any of you climbers out there. I know Ken and Marion must be, otherwise Rachel wouldn't be a climber. Come on, climb up the mad mountain, clawing your way. Oh, we've got to get to the Grateful Garden. We've got to move this tree. Help me, help me. What are we grateful for? One more. Say it again. Laughing, yes. Anything else?
Shelter.
Shelter, good. Anything else? I can feel myself loosening up. One or two more?
Dessert.
Dessert. Yeah, where's Alvin Zacharias when you want dessert? Last one, anybody? Neighbors, very nice. I'm no longer on the mad mountain. I'm no longer stuck in the sad swamp. I'm no longer in the frowny forest. Even if you think it's just because your pastor is so silly, that's fine. I'm happy to be that for you if it gets us to the gratitude garden. And there's my gratitude tree growing, and none of those leaves will have to be raked up and taken away. So that's another thing we can be thankful for. Thank you for your participation. Now let's participate as adults should. Open your bulletin. And right there, we have the call to worship. Not that having fun and pretending to be childlike isn't worship. I think it is. I declare that that was worship, just as much as this is. This activity, we will read our call to worship together. You'll read the dark print. Thank God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God.
We thank God for joy, for laughter, for blessings of every kind.
Give thanks to God at all times and for everything.
We thank God when we can.
Give thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank God that in Christ our joys, as well as our pain, our losses, as well as our laughter, our importance, our
hearts, and past. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us here. We thank you for gathering us to yourself. We thank you for our friends and our neighbors, for all of those who are gathered here and for those who are at home. We remember them and we thank you for them. We ask for your blessing on them and on us as we worship together, physically together and virtually together. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us, that would stir our hearts and our heads, both, that we would feel free in our bodies to worship you the way you invite us to, without restraint. We are grateful people, and we pray that you would unclutter our lives, Lord. We have too much, we consume too much, and we expect too much. Grant us perspective to see this world through others' eyes than just our own. Grant us compassion where there is need to play our part and not turn aside. Grant us gratitude for what we have, our daily bread, the gift of life. Unclutter our lives, Lord. Give us space, simplicity, and thankful hearts. Amen. Let's continue by singing Hymnal Worship Book number 86 and then 98. Please remember to put your masks on. Please rise. Number 98. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Before I begin with the congregational prayer, I would like to invite us to bow together and pray for the offering, which we don't see anymore because we're not gathering it physically here, but it has been deposited at the back table, and so we are going to pray a blessing on that offering. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your abundance, as some people have already mentioned here this morning, and also we in our hearts, recognizing how you have blessed us much further beyond our daily bread. Every one of us has cupboards and fridges and freezers full of food beyond our daily bread. And we thank you for that. It's not because we're so good that you poured out your blessing. It's because you are so good. Thank you for this opportunity to share of all that you have given with others in the ministry of your church for those in need who don't have all that they require for daily living. Even as we give, keep reminding us in our hearts, in our awareness that there are others in need, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. We bring them all to you and we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You can never really get too much prayer, you know. I was looking at this order of worship and thinking, where do I insert another prayer? We had the opening prayer, we're going to have congregational prayer, and then I have to have offering prayer. And it's just like, man, one prayer after another. Hallelujah. You know, I would rather be at a church that prays too much than at a church that doesn't pray enough. Bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to worship you. And it seems odd that in a time of worship we come with requests. It feels funny to, on Thanksgiving Day, when we're supposed to be so full of gratitude and thanks, that we, with the same mouth, in the same breath, then ask you for more. It's not because we are greedy, and it's not because we are ungrateful. It's because we know that you are a God of super abundance, that you continue to bless our lives, even when we're ungrateful, or even when we misuse or abuse the things that you have given us, or we neglect those things. But first and foremost, we come to worship you because you are God over all. You created us, and you have everything in your hand. You have all power and dominion. This is our gratitude to you, recognizing and speaking out our testimony that you are God and there is no other. And we worship you. We humble ourselves. And we pray for forgiveness when we are not as humble as we ought to be. We pray for forgiveness for the multitude of sins that we have, in fact, committed in this day, in this last week, since we came together the last time to confess communally. And we thank you for your forgiveness that covers everything. As easy as that, we come and we confess and we know that you are faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the thing we are the most thankful for. We have no burden. We have no guilt because you have taken it all away. Thank you. And then in light of that, we can look around and we can appreciate so many more of the things that you've given us because we no longer are bowed down, weighed down by guilt or remorse or so many other things. Thank you for inviting us into your presence. And we pray for those who do not experience your presence in their lives. We pray for our friends who have turned their backs on all society, on all connection. We're concerned for them, and it's our love that urges us to pray for them. Touch their hearts, speak to them. We pray for those who haven't been able to get out, especially when they live in places like the Meadows and some other places like that, that physically they can't get out, and yet spiritually they long to be here together, worshiping you. We pray for their families and the caregivers. Give them stamina, encourage them, help them to recognize that every day together with their loved one is still a blessing. And this reminds us of those who have lost their loved ones. We pray for them. We ask that you continue to uphold them each and every day as they live with the reality of that loss more than some of us recognize or realize. You know the sorrow in our hearts, and you care about it, and that is where you long to meet us. Thank you for being there. We thank you for all of the other churches here in Swift Current, and we pray for all of them. And especially today, we pray for Christ the Redeemer, Roman Catholic Parish, and their ministers. We pray for Mennonite Church Saskatchewan, Fields of Hope, as they look for a new pastor. We pray for the pastor of the Burkina Faso Mennonite Church, who has been diagnosed with COVID. We pray for health for the pastor and health for the community as well. We are reminded of the elections here and south of here, and we pray for your hand on them, that people would experience safety and security as they go to vote. We pray for those who have found themselves in the midst of a real and true storm, a number of storms, as these named storms, both Laura and Delta, have come and struck them without being able to rely on those who would love to go in and help out. Help us as humanity to find new and creative ways to help our neighbors. And we remember them. We're so far away, but we remember them and we pray for them with genuine, sincere concern. We pray for all of those who have not named their requests. We lift them up to you. We pray for those who have been hurt, who are struggling with mental health. We lift them to you and we pray for their healing, as we also pray for our own spiritual healing. We know that you are present here in our midst. Thank you for that. And we pray with one voice, just like you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So now we are going to sing Hymnal of Worship, book number 89, For the Beauty of the Earth, 1, 2, and 5. Please put your masks on and stand.
Oh,
I was so excited about the gratitude tree that I forgot to read the scripture that I really wanted to open the service up with. And I'm sure you won't mind if I read another couple of extra scripture passages, will you? No? Okay, good. So I'm going to start with Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44, reading verses 21 to 23. So if you want to put it in context, just pretend you just barely came in and sat down, and we didn't do all of that stuff yet. 44, verses 21 to 23. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. Psalm 100 is the next, and it's a little bit longer, but you'll recognize a lot of it. It's Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Sorry, I just had to stop there for a minute, remembering how many times my parents dragged me into church, and I was not worshiping the Lord with gladness, but that does come after many years, I guess. And maybe even for us, you know, we come with the things that we have brought in our lives, and you don't feel it, but here the psalmist invites us to do that. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Those were the pre-service readings. Now, here's the real scripture reading, the scripture that's connected to the message. The message that I will speak. There are many messages. Turn to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and it says verses 1 to 10, I think, but I'm really going to stop at verse 9. Oh, 1 to 9, good. Philippians 4, 1 to 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they've struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Today's message is entitled Thanksgiving as Best Practice. Some of you who are in the healthcare industry will probably recognize that phrase, best practice. Let's use that catchphrase and even that phrase that we have heard broadcast everywhere, best practices, and then apply it to the practice of Thanksgiving. So I want to just read a little thing from Wikipedia to give us the grounding of the meaning of best practice, so then we can apply that to our lesson today. So best practices are used to maintain quality as an alternative to mandatory legislated standards. A best practice is a method that has been generally accepted as superior to any alternatives because it produces results that are superior to those achieved by other means. Thinking about Thanksgiving as best practice. I'm going to read it again. Best practice is the method that has been generally accepted as superior to any alternatives because it produces results that are superior to those achieved by other means. They are used to maintain quality as an alternative to mandatory standards. They are most efficient or prudent and are often set forth by an authority. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Thanksgiving as best practice. Sometimes we resist Thanksgiving or we have excuses for not being thankful or full of gratitude. And the reasons are pretty sound and solid in our minds and in our feelings anyway. When our circumstances are not pleasant, they're painful and perhaps unfair. Do we pray to the God of fair? Everything needs to be fair and right according to our expectations. We may ask big questions in life. The biggest of all, why? Why? And another question, God, are you here? And perhaps, what does this suffering mean? Especially considering the times we are in. What does all of this mean? And how are we supposed to have a Thanksgiving service, a Thanksgiving weekend, in the middle of all of this? Are we going to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that it doesn't exist? Just la, 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 everything's fine, don't tell me any of the bad stuff. Like many people have said, I've stopped watching the news because I don't want to hear it anymore. Is that what we're meant to do? We have to block all of that out in order to be able to have Thanksgiving. Those are good questions and good things to face head on. Don't pretend they don't exist. Don't ignore them. And we have to recognize that we are in the two seasons at the same time. We're in the season of Thanksgiving, harvest season. And we are also in the season of COVID. We know that. We recognize that and we name that. So we have challenges. And we say, what is going on? God, are you here? What does this mean? This is not fair. We are invited to look at things from another perspective, to hold those things as true and real, or other circumstances that you are facing that we don't know or understand. Hold them there. They are there. And now, with them hanging there in the air, let's step back and consider something more that will then give us perspective on those things that we are facing, as real as they are. So the first thing I would invite us to do, considering Thanksgiving as best practice, we need to do our fact checking. Check the facts. And we've been hearing a lot of that. Make sure that our emotions and our reactions and our believing is based on the facts. And so in order to find the facts, we have to recognize who is our expert and who is our authority. If we listen to a non-expert or a so-called expert, we can be led astray, thinking these are the facts, this is the reality, when it's not. What is our reality as the gathered body of Jesus Christ? Well, you back up from Philippians 4, verse 1, as I am wont to do. I'm not going to begin with chapter 4, verse 1, because it starts with, therefore, good grief. No good preacher in their right mind will start a sermon there. So you have to back up to chapter 3, verse 20. Not too far. But, oh, much better. Start with a but instead of a therefore. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we're expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is our starting point. That is where we begin our fact sheet. The reality, the true thing is that our citizenship is in heaven. And we expect Jesus Christ to return to this earth in bodily form. Because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, came to this earth, lived a human life, and yet fully divine, taught among humanity, and then died for sin that was not his own, all of ours. All of our sin has been paid for through the death of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he died and was raised again the third day. Hallelujah! Can I get an amen? Amen? Thank you. Just to make sure that is what we believe, I always say, stand up here and say, we, and I don't know if it's me or we. We believe that, yes, we do. That because Jesus Christ died and saved us from our sin, and he returned again to heaven, God raised him from the dead. That is what we can also expect for ourselves. And our salvation is in Jesus Christ, and it is from heaven that we are expecting him. That's where our citizenship is. This is a journeying place. Yes, we are here, but this is a transient place. We're on our way to somewhere else. That's where our fact-checking begins. Our citizenship is in heaven, that Jesus Christ has cleansed us and will return for us. He hasn't forgotten us here. It is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, for those of you who, many of these leaves, by the way, say, I am grateful that I can walk, that I can walk into this church. I am grateful for the health that I have. Very simple things. So many of us realize, oh, this body is not forever. And right here, Verse 21, part of this fact-checking sheet, this Savior we're expecting, he will transform the body of our humiliation. We're going to be transformed. God continues to transform us so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. We're going to become like him. What that looks like exactly, not so sure. But we have faith and we have expectation, and that's a fact. It's a fact that Jesus is going to come again for us. It's a fact that God is conforming us into his likeness. Those are the facts that we begin our fact checking with. So then, based on those facts, then Paul says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. Stand firm in the Lord in this way. In the way, what way? In that way. You remember that song, Walk Like an Egyptian? And there's another song that's rolling around in my head, Walk This Way. It's a rock song, but I won't go into it. But that's what I'm hearing when I hear this. Stand this way, in the way that we remember, oh, where am I going to? Where did I come from? What is my life all about? I'm being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I'm changing very slowly. I know. I understand. Thank you for having patience with me. Sometimes I think you all have way more patience with me than I have with myself. I want to change faster, better, more, quicker. We all do. We all want something better. But the fact is, this is our reality. This is our journey while we wait for Jesus Christ to take us home. And he's transforming us. 4 verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The God who says, you are mine. I have redeemed you. You belong to me. You belong to me. I have not forgotten you. That's the fact we begin with. That's our fact sheet. And then with that in mind, then we know we can come before this God who says, come to me, I have redeemed you. Bring it on. Bring anything you've got. Bring everything you've got. Pray. Go ahead, pray, pour it out with supplication and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving. Oh, I thank God for salvation. It's nothing I did. I might say, oh, I'm thankful for my job, but I know, oh, I worked really hard at AMBS to earn that degree, and I polished myself up really well for the interview process so you all would hire me. Then there's, you know, little bits and pieces of self in there. Or my house, or my yard, or my kids. Or, you know, all of these different things we can add ourselves to because we worked hard for it. But this salvation, we didn't do anything for. It's a free gift, and it covers everything else. That is where our fact-checking needs to begin. It needs to be hooked onto that. If, in fact, that is our authority. Because best practices are given by authority. And if we no longer see the Word of God or understand God's speaking into our lives as actual authority, then we will reject these best practices of thanksgiving. Because throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, thanksgiving is there. All the way to Revelation, right to the very end, when everything comes to its final conclusion. And those who are around the throne of God are giving thanks, giving praise to God, because that is our authority. That is our expert. So when Paul reminds us, give thanks, pray with thanksgiving, as long as that is our authority. So you might be saying to yourself, well, yeah, okay, you've got a good point there. But thanksgiving one day, is that really enough? Is it really enough? It's not. It's not nearly enough. It needs to become who we are. This is not the vaccine that we're inoculated with, that you just shove it in your arm and ta-da, now you've done your Thanksgiving and you can go on until next October when you get your next shot of Thanksgiving. No, this is more like a daily habit. It's like, none of you are going to like this, it's like a reusable mask. You take one out and you put it on and you wear it for a little bit and then you take it off and you put another one on again and again and again. And sometimes you let it hang by your ear, you put it under your chin. It looks different. And it looks different on everybody. That's how the practice of Thanksgiving is. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Val was very worried that this mask doesn't look like it fits me very well. And some of you feel like, oh, your masks are too tight, or it hurts my ears. Well, try a different type then. The same with Thanksgiving. So that's why I want to move into the next aspect of Thanksgiving as best practice. It's not mandatory. Look at that. Lots of you have taken your masks off. And why? Because it's not mandatory. As long as you are here and you're not saying anything or you're not singing, you can have your mask off. So Thanksgiving, there it is. It's a suggestion. It's a good practice, but you don't have to do it. You want to look at the very first Thanksgiving celebration? Look at Genesis chapter 4. Some of you won't even have to turn there. You'll go, I know that story. Well, listen to this. I don't know if you've heard it this way. Now the man knew his wife, that was Adam. He knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, what did she say? This is hilarious. I have produced a man. Production. We bring all our produce, usually. We bring all sorts of stuff for Thanksgiving. And here Eve is initiating this first Thanksgiving service. She says, look at the produce. I have one. So she produced a man with the help of the Lord. And then next she bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry. So here's the first Thanksgiving. And they've brought their stuff. And God had regard for the offering and the offerer in Abel, but not for Cain. And what was his response? It was exactly what many of our response to adverse circumstances is. He was angry. He was upset. Now, if you'd like to go and look up things on the internet after the service, go ahead and look up the anger iceberg. If you are a person who gets angry at little things, look at that anger iceberg, because it's just the top is where the anger is that's sticking out, and the rest is underneath that's unseen, because anger is a secondary emotion. What is it that's making me so angry? Sometimes it's humiliation. Sometimes it's fear. There's so many other emotions that are lying underneath that need to be taken care of. And that's what God says to Cain here. God saw that Cain was angry. And he says, is it right for you to be angry? Then look at this. Those of you who turned here, look. God is engaging Cain in this. He's not rejecting him. He didn't turn his back on Cain at all. God came to Cain. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? We went to the frowning forest. Why has your countenance fallen? Why is your face so gloomy? Why is your whole body sort of just, God is asking, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't do well, sin is lurking at the door. It's lurking there. Anger is a hint that something is not right inside our spirit. So this idea of refusing to be thankful is a hint of something not right with our spirit that's deep down underneath, hidden, trampled on, ignored. God says, come on, let's dig it out. Let's get in there. Let's take care of this. God is not rejecting you. I can't say this often enough. There's a church sign that says, God is not mad at you. God is not mad at you. God loves you and wants to take care of that business underneath that's causing these terrible things to demonstrate themselves. And this sin is lurking at the door. But we don't need to be there. It's our choice. It's not mandatory to be thankful. But it's our choice. Go ahead and be grateful. Just like wearing a mask is a choice to clothe ourselves. Cloak yourself. Turn to Colossians, which is actually just one page over from Philippians, so it's not hard to find. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves. Put these things on, like your mask. Put it on. And there's all sorts of things here. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bear with one another. If you have a complaint, forgive each other, just as the Lord forgave you. Above all things, clothe yourself. Put your mask on. Put your thankful mask on. Clothe your non-mandatory self with this mask. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Right there, the tail end after the list is long finished. P.S. And be thankful. This becomes who we are. I hope the masks don't become who we are. I hope we don't become masked and hidden individuals. It's not mandatory. It's for our good and the good of our neighbors. When we mask ourselves with thankfulness, as we are invited to do here, we help our neighbors, or we protect our neighbors from our own judgment, from our own criticism, from our own perhaps coveting, wanting what they have. I wish I were as tall as she is. I always wanted to be tall, and I'm not. So I see someone who's tall, and immediately I'm like, who does she think she is, so tall? But it's true! You know, and all of those things, they come up on a daily or hourly basis, that mask of thankfulness. I am thankful that I have a healthy form, that I have energy. I'm thankful for who God created me to be. That actually protects our neighbors from some of our own bad habits. And the result of these best practices is simply the peace of God. Perform these best practices of thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard our hearts. Amen. In response, let's turn to Hymnal of Worship Book, number 580, and we are only singing verse number 4. My life flows on. Bow with me for the benediction. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.